Welcome to Interviews for Resistance. Since election night 2016, the streets of the U.S. have rung with resistance. People all over the country have woken up with the conviction that they must do something to fight inequality in all its forms. But many are wondering what it is they can do. In this series, we'll be talking with experienced organizers, troublemakers, and thinkers who have been doing the hard work of fighting for a long time. They'll be sharing their insights on what works, what doesn't, what has changed, and what is still the same. I am Sarah Jaffe, your host.
My name is Rosy Carrasco, R-O-S-I-C-A-R-A-S-C-O, and I'm with Organized Communists Against Deportations.
You're based in Chicago, where the other night there was a shooting of somebody by an ICE officer, correct?
Yes, just recently.
Talk about the way that, I know there's been a lot of organizing in Chicago in recent years about police shootings, and so I'd love to hear from you about how the organizing around policing and the organizing around deportations are connecting up in this case and in others.
What we know for the families that we are working with is that usually the first contact with the system is through the police.
Right.
So, and then families ended in a deportation proceedings. So, we have families with DUI, our families that has traffic violations outside of Chicago, right? They live in Chicago, or they live close to Chicago, and sometimes they are driving. But we have families that were driving to their works and then they were stopped by a minor traffic violation and then they were turned on to ICE officers. So this is, so we know that first encounter with the police has been something that the way our families ended up in deportation proceedings. The other thing that we have learned is for the research that the Chicago Tribune did last year, that the DUI checkpoints are mainly realizing communities of color, Black and Latino communities, and I think it's Jefferson Park, the community in which there are more accidents caused by DUI for people driving under the influence of alcohol, and there has not been any checkpoint over there. So for us, criminalization is something that is impacting our communities directly, in that way, right? We know that we are one of the communities that has been criminalized, because if you don't have documents and you have a DUI, you could face deportation. Or if you have in the past a possession of marijuana, or you were any mistake that you committed in the past could make those families to face deportation. So this is something that we know that is happening. And the other thing that we know is that when we talk about the police, right, there's an impact directly on the Black communities, the poor communities that live around, the Latino communities or the Mexican communities, in which police is really violent, right, because of the news and the work that we have been doing with the Black community, we know how this impacts their lives too. So, OCAD is part of a national network called Mi Gente. I don't know if you are familiar with Mi Gente. And through this connection, we have been able to connect with communities fighting against criminalization, like the Movement for Black Lives, and here in Chicago directly with BYP100. And we have decided that we no longer can talk about safety of our communities without addressing the criminalization. So we are working together in different areas One is, of course, to change the city policies of Chicago. We have this welcoming city ordinance, but this ordinance has four exceptions. And those four exceptions or carve-outs, the police could call ICE if people is facing, if people have a criminal warrant or send a gang database, in those cases, the police could call ICE. So this is something that we want to make sure that if the city of Chicago is calling itself a welcoming city ordinance or sanctuary city, needs to make sure that there's no encounter with the police. This is something. And the other thing is that when we talk about the safety of our communities, we know that we no longer can believe just in the police, because not only Latino or poor community or undocumented community is living in this community that has been criminalized, but also Black community, poor people in Black community. So we are working together trying to redefine the concept of safety, and of course to change the welcoming city ordinance.
I was really struck by the question of what a sanctuary city really is, when we're looking at all of these issues together. And so give us a little bit more background about the work that you guys have been doing in Chicago around deportations before Trump was president, and how that has changed and stepped up in the last few months.
Yeah, well, OCAD was formed at the end of 2012. Mm-hmm. So, as you probably know, during the Obama administration, more than 2 million of people were deported, right? So we form OCAD as the way to organize with communities, with our community, because of the impact of deportations of the Obama administration. Yeah. What we do is when a family approach, we try to organize with that family, because we know that sometimes families do not have a legal solution, right? There's no way to just to look the legal way to have papers, because there's no policy in place to move that part, to change that part. So we know that what we do is we organize public petitions, we organize rallies, we organize with families, make phone calls. In the past, that's what we were doing, make phone calls to the ICE officers and to appeal to the fact that families are living here and working here and making contributions to the society. So most of the families that we were organizing with them in Chicago, they were not deported. But we know that the situation has changed, because in the past, at least we could appeal to the federal government and say, you know, look to look what the ICE officers is doing here. They are violating the rights of people. They are not respecting. There was the possibility to, at least from the federal government, because they have, the Obama administration had this policy to with priorities, right? With people that will be priority for deportation. Supposedly people that is like a threat to the security, national security of this country. So there was a kind of policy in place that the idea was that if we could show that families have a good moral character, the official has the discretion to to allow those families to visit, to close the case, and the families will be able to visit, and they were requesting every year to extend that permit, right? Because it's not something, the solution it has never been permanent, but at least right. families knew that they will be able to continue living their lives here. Well, those things has changed. Now we no longer have, or well, at least from the federal government, there's no priorities. Everyone is a priority, regardless of what. If you are undocumented and you live in this country, according to the new policies, ICE could detain you and deport you. So, that's one thing. The other thing is that the federal government has been encouraging officers. I would say encouraging officers to be more violent, to be less respectful. You know, the way the president is talking when he talks about undocumented immigrants, he's talking as, I don't know, it's like creating this office, new officers or offices of people that has committed crimes, being undocumented when crimes are happening in this country for a long time, right? And instead of looking for a real solution, they are taking, they are closing programs from the youth, they are, so for me it's like, this federal government is not looking for solutions. It has been, since the very beginning, looking for ways to make immigrants the target or one of the targets of this policy, of this new government. So things has changed, and we are in the process of finding new ways to organize with people. And one of those ways is to understand that we need to work with the other communities that have been impacted by the policy of this government. Because, you know, the Muslim community and the Arab community are also targets, right? Just the two bands that the administration try to avoid people coming from the countries that they perceive as, as terrorists, right? So, all the black community that has been facing racism for a long time. So, I think that we are in the process of understanding that we need to redefine what we call safety. We need to redefine what we call the way we have been organizing. And I think that this is something new that we are starting to do. Create connections and to find a way to work with all the other communities to try to redefine what it means to have a safety community and to include not only immigrant community, but also the Muslim and Arab community, the black community, the LGBTQ community, all the communities that has, I think that has been the target of this administration. So in a way, I think that we are already starting to change things within the way that we are organizing.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So, you know, Chicago, you have Rahm Emanuel as mayor, who has said some things about wanting to stand up to Trump. But what has been the reaction from him and from the aldermen and the state government to the work you guys are doing and the demands you're making around the Welcoming City Ordinance?
I remember that when I joined this effort to amend the Welcoming City Ordinance 2 years ago, having conversations with the city, having conversations with the police, with It seems that major, at least the message was that they were willing to change things, but until now we haven't seen real change. No, it's like for me like a declaration, and but I think we're still waiting for the mayor to really show that he supports not only the immigrant community but our communities, right? Because Trump is again is targeting not only the immigrant community when he talks about sending the National Guard here to stop violence. I think that's a message against poor communities in general, Black and Latino and Arab and Muslim and all the communities. We are still waiting to see if he really is going to amend the Welcoming Cities in a way that there's no collaboration between the police and ICE. That's one thing that is not happening yet. But we are pushing, we are going to have we're having not only meetings, we have different community gatherings to talk about these issues. We have had press conferences to push the aldermen and the mayor and to understand how important is this issue for our communities. And for me too, you know, Trump has been already doing things to harm our community since the day one. And I haven't seen yet the city of Chicago really standing up for against the Trump administration, but they could do a lot. They could do it if they wanted to do it. So we are going to continue pushing the city. I know that we already introduced the Welcoming City Ordinance. Well, not we, but some of the aldermen. Carlos Rosa is one of the aldermen working with us. And some of the aldermen that have been working with this coalition that we have to push for the Welcoming City amendments. They already introduced like a month ago the ordinance in which without the carve outs, but probably so we think that probably next month, hopefully we will be able to see if really the mayor is with us or not. This is like for me, we have been working for a long time, and this is the time now to show that he really supports our community. So let's see.
I've been seeing some things going around about the plans for May 1st and for a big strike. And so Chicago tends to lead the way on things like that. So I wonder if you can tell us anything that's being planned for May 1st in Chicago.
Yes, of course. Actually, I have been attending the weekly meetings at Casa Michoacán. That's the place that historically we have met there since 2006. So we have been meeting, and we have a statement document, and we have our flyers used a few minutes ago. We have our flyers. Did you want? I could send you information. But basically, this one of the main issues that we are. That we have decided that it will be different now, is that basically we are trying to do a different match in a different way. We want to make sure that people impacted by the Trump administration will be at the forefront of the march. That means people that has been the target for violence or criminalization. And We have a statement. So we have a meeting. The difference now is that we are collaborating with, you know, there's this call from the movement for Black Lives to march on May 1st.
Right.
For one side, and for the other side, we have the unions and the immigrant community organizing for May Day, right? Usually that's what is happening, but now we are all working together to make sure that we have a huge march calling to stop the criminalization of our communities. So for me, this is a little bit different that has been in the past, because in the past we have said legalization for all, or we have said workers' rights for all. This time we are saying resist racism, rebuild community. And we are saying we are going to march because we want to stop criminalization, defend our rights, and create truly safe and healthy communities. This is, I'm reading you what the flyers, the version of our flyers. So this is going to be a very different march than in the past. We are going to march together with the Movement for Black Lives, with the LGBTQ community, with the Muslim and Arab community, with the undocumented community, with the unions, to defend the rights of all of us, even the right to organize, the right to unionize, the right for a healthy environment. So this is like a calling everyone to send a strong message that we are not going to allow this administration to divide us. So we want respect for our rights. We want, so this is basically one of the messages we are trying to send. And we also are organizing not only the May Day, we are part of this. We have on April 4th an event that's been organized on the anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you are familiar with that event.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, go ahead and tell us about it for people who don't know.
Yeah, well, basically it's an event organized together with the Movement for Black Lives in mm-hmm. Chicago, and the idea is that we could share our own struggles and find ways to create connections and to find ways to create safer communities together, and not only in terms of policies, but also in terms of in our own communities, how can we make sure that people feel safe, that our rights are respected regardless of our origin, regardless of our race, regardless of our color of the skin. And this is we already had an event that with more of 100 people from about 30 organizations. And it was great to learn from each other's struggles, to understand better what is happening in our communities.
Yeah.
So this is like a continuation of that, and then we will march on May 1st. So this is, for me, something new. We are exploring new ways to collaborate. We are exploring new ways to work together because, you know, we no longer can afford to fight in isolated struggles. We need to find a way to not only to be in solidarity with each other, but also to find a way to change the policies of this administration. And that means for us to understand better the other communities that we are working with.
Yeah, excellent. And how can people keep up with you and with your work?
Well, we have community assemblies the first and the third week. sorry, the first and the third week of each month, we have our Facebook page. It's organized Comments Against Deportations. We usually put our events there because we don't have one specific place to do our meeting. We also have a web page.
Excellent. Anything else that people should know about your work or what's going on in Chicago?
So basically, I will say that it's important to be part of the movement to enroll. If you don't have an organization, it's good to find a way to be part of one of the organizations that has been fighting against racism, against criminalization. There's a lot of work to do for all of us. And I would say that people should know that we are not alone in this fight. There's a lot of people in this country that believe in justice. And there's a lot of people fighting and organizing to change things, not only talking about laws and policies, but also talking about the way we live in our communities. I think this is a time to change, to really change, and to find ways to work with each other in solidarity with all the communities that are impacted by this administration. So it's a time of opportunities for us to continue organizing with our communities, and it's a time to change things in our own communities.
Interviews for Resistance is a project of Sarah Jaffe with assistance from Laura Faillebois and support from the Nation Institute. You can find more information at necessarytrouble.org. Thanks for listening.